Thank you, Dennis, for leading our service thus far. And I know you're surely going to come back after my sermon. But it's good, right, to see all of us being involved on Sunday morning. I like it when I get to sit and have my cup of tea. As I've always said, I'm the lazy one who likes to sit. But it is wonderful. For those who might be who might have joined us for the first time or who don't know who this person is, I am Sat, the minister for this church. Sadly or good way, I don't know, but I'm the minister. This morning, we are going to listen our second last sermon for the sermon series that we started in month of October. It's a long one. It was a long one, I must say. And we took the Apostles' Creed as an outline for this sermon series, and we asked ourselves a question: what is that we believe? And we have looked at different aspects of the Apostles' Creed, and we have tried to understand and see what the Bible talks about it. Because what we believe is not what we think is right, but what we believe is what is given in the Bible. And therefore then, that was the exercise that we are doing. But very soon, after the Feb half term, we are going to start a new sermon series. And that time, and when we are looking at that sermon series, we are going to ask a question almost in the lines which I often ask at the end of my sermon: so what? If this is what I believe, if this is what we believe, so what? And the title of that sermon series would be Everything, Everywhere Matters. The reason I'm telling you this morning about that is because I want all of us to start praying about this. For all the different people, those who would be part of that sermon series and would be bringing God's word to us. But at the same time, this sermon series is also important because as I was sitting at the end of last year, or almost at the end of last year, and I was thinking, where should we as a church be focused at or looking at? And for me, it was important because we as a church need to get into practice of reflecting God everywhere and in everything that we do. And now this is not about a big sermon or beautiful words or how confident you are in sharing the gospel. It's just being. It's just being there for people to listen. It's just being there for someone who just needs to hear, is it okay if I pray for you? And just listening to their story and praying for that. So this is what, as a body of Christ, we must do. But that's coming after Feb half term. But being who we are is a part of our life every day. But this morning, as we start our last sermon second last sermon this morning, I would like to request us all, if we are able to stand and let's read this Apostles' Creed together. Let's read. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And this morning, we are focusing on the phrase or line which says the forgiveness of our sin. just go ahead and show my sermon. That's fine. That's my sermon this morning. I, as you all know, I'm not good with PPTs, so that's my whole sermon. But before we listen to what God has laid on my heart this morning and what all these things mean, I want to give you an opportunity. We are talking about forgiveness of sin. And we have read the passage of Luke 15 and the story of lost son. But I want to give an opportunity, if there are things that has stood out for you from the passage, as we have said, you know, Bible talks to us every time we read it. So if there are anything that has come up for you, I want to give an opportunity to share that with the church so that the sermon starts in that one, then I'll just add my own bits. Anything anybody would like to share, just raise your hands. I'll come to you with the mic. It has to be from the passage and it has to be based around the topic.
I think for me it was the depth of the Father's forgiveness for the wayward son, and also his love and forgiveness for the elder son when he got very stroppy.
Thank you.
I like the idea of what the father told the old son, that your brother was dead and now he's back and he lost and he's found. And I believe that is a great definition of forgiveness, that you were dead in your sin, now you're alive, and you were lost, and now you are turning back to the original place where you are.
Thank you.
I think it's interesting that demonstrated forgiveness that is portrayed and lived challenges others to forgive. I'm thinking of the other son, because he obviously was not ready to forgive his brother, and the challenge to him was, can I do what my father did and actually embrace his repentance and also forgive so that he will be right? And that relationship is restored with his brother and ultimately with his father too.
Thank you. So I'll come to you, Margaret. If it is related to topic and from the passage.
So what I think is incredibly profound is that the wayward son, he descended so fully. I mean, to cavort with prostitutes is very, sort of anti-Christian, completely, I always think. And so descending so fully and then admitting that is just great. And then the father forgives him immediately because the son is so repentant. And he senses that he knew he made a mistake. And even though what he did was so, in my view, terrible, he can still be forgiven. And that's just such a powerful message. It really is.
Thank you. Yes, Margaret, what is that you're sharing?
His son went to feed the pigs, and one of them went up to see the pigs feeding. He went and the pigs told to his son to go away because they ended up the pigs with their food.
Mm. Yes, Margaret, thank you. Pigs food.
I like the way the father says to the elder son, all I have has been yours all along. And I think we can be guilty of remembering that we are in the kingdom and all the blessings are ours. And obviously the son had just been living like a servant, more or less, and forgetting that he was a blessed son.
There's a big moment in the story with the youngest son at his lowest point that always kind of gets me. That he's absolutely at his lowest point, but it's the fact that at that point, I know it was me, personal pride, I've walked away and I would want to sort it out myself. And it's the fact that he, it's actually quite a big step, I always think, that he can go back to his father. He swallows that pride and he's prepared to go back and face his father. He doesn't know how his father's going to sort of, you know, sort of greet him when he comes back. But it's the fact that, you know, he has that sort of moment of sort of faith that he will go back, and the fact that there's nothing so low for anyone that we can't kind of come back from, that God can reach out to us even in that really lowest of points.
Thank you. Isn't it a lovely sermon thus far? It's always good that we all share and learn together. Now, coming to this passage, Jesus is telling a parable or a story to address a very important point that he wanted to make. Now, this is one of the longest story that Jesus has told, or at least a recorded story that Jesus told to people. Why Jesus is telling this story? We can get to know that from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. There was a crowd. As always, Jesus was mostly with people. He was addressing them, and it says in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And so Jesus started telling them stories rather than trying to answer their question. Why? Because he still wanted to answer their question, but Jesus thought, let me tell you a story. And then there are three stories that Jesus tells them back to back. One is about the lost sheep, the other one is about the lost coin, and the third one is about the lost son. The central theme of all these three parables or stories is very simple. That God loves us and he intently looks for us to come back to him, and he would accept us. You know, in the story of lost sheep, the shepherd went and looked for his sheep. How many sheep were in his pen? 99. He went back and looked for one. A coin. Now, there is a lot of cultural context to this, but I'm not going to all that stuff, because the learning is very simple, that God loves us. And we see that similar thing when the lost son came back. What was father's reaction? You're saying something, Jana? He ran. Father didn't say, oh, here comes my son, who went away and never came back or enjoyed his life. Let him come to me and say sorry. That's what we would do as a father these days. But he ran. Why? Because he was eagerly waiting for him. And my dear church family, we need to understand, and I want to make this point right at the beginning, that God loves us like that. You know, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, and we are going to take a cup in our hands and eat from that bread. And we would say, and we would come back and saying, this is in the remembrance of what God has done for us. This shows God's love. And God loves us equally. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves us. And there is always a celebration every time we come back to the Lord. You know, that's another constant factor in all these three passages. There's a celebration, and I liked it. I like love. I love food, fellowship, and all stuff around it. And there's a celebration. And God celebrates. God loves us so much that when we come back to him, he celebrates. But this morning, we know what God has done. We know that God has sent his son to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven, and we would come back to him and say, Father, please forgive me. But we all stood up here this morning and said, I believe in the forgiveness of sin. But what is forgiveness? Don't look at everything that I've written there yet. So don't break my sermon. What is forgiveness? You know, interestingly, when I created or chose this background, I don't know if, how many of us have any experience with this. The background image is of a blackboard. Has any of you seen that? Do you know what it means? These days it is converted into a whiteboard with the ink pen. But back then, it was always a blackboard with the chalk and a duster. And teachers used to come and write notes on the blackboard. And, you know, if there was few teachers who never used to use a blackboard and we used to love them a lot, brilliant teachers, not giving us too many notes. They just come and use a textbook and, wow, wonderful teacher. And then there used to be some teachers who used to use blackboard every class. I had one lecturer and he was a brilliant church history teacher. I loved him. The way he taught church history was brilliant. But he, in his 45 minutes lecture, we used to end up writing 4 pages of notes. And that too, church history. I think he did it intentionally because history can make people sleep. But then he was brilliant at that. And he used to just write on the blackboard. And you just have to write it. And that's a beautiful thing about blackboard or even whiteboard now. If you rub that, it's not there. And I was thinking of that. You know, I never thought of a blackboard image when I was thinking of getting ready for this Sunday. But as I stood back there, that is the image that tells what forgiveness is. What is forgiveness? A clean slate. What is forgiveness? Sorry? That you are loved? Thank you. A new life? Everything wiped away? I have a shredder here. And interestingly, the shredder, the box that is under the shredder was not the best one, so I've covered it. But I want to give us an opportunity later, before in between communion, to make use of that shredder. I'll tell you why. I wanted to use a fire pit, but I looked at the carpet and said, nah, not the best one. So let's go with the modern tech and use a shredder there. Forgiveness is basically God telling us you're loved and all that you have done thus far is gone. Forgiveness is father running and accepting that son, saying, my son has come back home, my daughter has come back home, and I love you just the way I used to love you when you chose to walk away from me. And I still loved you all that time when you were not here and you enjoyed your life, but I still love you just the way that I used to love you. And that is forgiveness. You know, one of the definitions one of the explanations of forgiveness that I read this week says, forgiveness is the mutual recognition that repentance of either or both parties is genuine and the right relationships has been restored or achieved. Now, forgiveness without repentance, it's just an action. You know, the word, oh, I am sorry. Very nice word, very common word. We use it so often. You know, one of the things that I was really thinking to use or not to use was a real repentance or real forgiveness. You know, it just to give that more extra quality or qualify forgiveness and repentance or real repentance. But repentance has to be a genuine one. So I've avoided. So if I use it, just it is out of habit that I'm using it. Now, when we look at this story of the lost son, there are two things that has happened, and that's the reason on the slide up there. It says forgiveness equals realization and repentance. When we look at the story of the lost son, he realized that in my father's house, there are a lot many things that even his servants are having a better life than this. So there is a realization and then there is a repentance. And because of what his son did, His father was able to run, accept him, and forgive him. But I want to talk and focus more on the word repentance this morning. You know, sometimes we look at this word repentance and think, oh, that's lovely. We did repent when we accepted Jesus Christ back then. But is that enough? Is repentance just one-time event in life and said, oh, yes, back then in 1984 when I accepted Lord Jesus Christ, I repented of everything. What is repentance? As I said on the screen, because I knew I would not be able to communicate that very well, repentance is not repainting, but it is a renewal of our life. You know, what I mean by that is repentance is not covering up of what we have done in the past, but it is a complete renewal. You know, a few years ago, one of my friends who likes to get things done perfectly, asked me, can I help him to redecorate his house? A part of redecoration. I'm really good at with my DIY skills. Not. So he asked me if I can help him. So I went to him on that day, and then he said, okay, that's the door. Here's a tub of paint. There's a brush. You need to paint the door. And I said, fine, very easy. So he went and did something else. After some time, he came back, or maybe a few hours, not some time. So he came back, and he observed. He said, wow, you have more color on the floor than on the door. And he said, that's good. Let's call it a lunch break. So we called it a lunch break because you're so impressed by my work. He said, let's go out and have some lunch. We had a lunch, and he said, oh, thanks, Sad, by the way, coming and for helping me. Now I'll get it all the things done. He's still a very good friend of mine. So that was not the end of our friendship. And after a few weeks, when I visited his house, when the work was done, I saw the door very nicely and neatly done. So I asked him, so what have you done with this door? He said, very simple thing. I left that door like that for a few days, for the paint to completely dry. And then I took my sander out. I sanded the door completely to the bare wood. And I repainted the door again. I said, why did you do that? Because he said, your strokes were not right. You know, I learned my lot of things. Like, I love working with the wood stuff. And I've learned a few things over the years. That your paint stroke has to go with the grains and all that. Anyway, but and that. He could have easily done that, but the work and the finished product wouldn't have been as good as the way he would have liked it. And my dear friends, that is repentance. Where we go back to the basic of who we are or who God wanted us to be, and not just repainting and covering of what we have done in the past. And the aspect of repentance is very, very important for us. And repentance is not one-time event, as I said, back in 1984 when I accepted Christ. Repentance is a thing that should be and must be a part of our life daily. Why? Why should we repent daily? Sorry, I'll just drink a water and then I'll come back. Yes, Jenny.
Because we muck it up daily.
Because we muck it up daily. If I ask this morning, who has sinned since morning? And if you all say, oh, we haven't, we have been really good, the answer would be wrong. Even I cannot say, oh, I have not sinned since morning. The answer would be wrong. We all make a mess of our life every day. You know, one of the stories that I like in the Bible is of Job. I don't know if how many of us has dared to read the whole story of Job, or the whole book of Job. But in the very first chapter of Job, it says that he used to offer a burnt offering for his family, for his sons and daughters. Why? Because just in case if they have sinned against the Lord. That's a daily practice. And it is not just, and the practice should not be, because we do it daily, the practice should not be, oh God, please forgive my sins. You know, interestingly, we say the Lord's Prayer. And then there's a line in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Our daily bread. Thank you, Margaret. We need to ask forgiveness to our Lord daily. Not just as a passing statement. Not just because, oh, we are meant to do it. But meaning what it actually means. Taking time daily to think of, oh, what I have done that does not reflect God through my life. And repenting from that, not repainting, not covering it up. Oh, you know, God, because that person behaved like that, I had to be rude because of that. You know, because the situation came like that, I had to do what I did. We're just trying to good. We are really good at covering up. You know, when I have a very small friend. Every Saturday morning when I go, when I take Salome for swimming, I have a four-year-old girl who eagerly waits for me and saves a chair for me. And as soon as she sees me, she says, "I said you are there." And she wears a sweatshirt. And on her t-shirt it says, "It wasn't me." You know, if you have almost a teenage child, no resemblance with anyone dead or alive, you would often hear this in your house. "But it wasn't me." And then it can also be a one-year-old child who has done and blamed for everything. No resemblance into that. Don't quote me out of this hall. But that's what we do. God. Situations, circumstances, people. And therefore I had to do what I've done. But that is not repentance, my dear friends. You know, in the Bible we read about two people. Two apostles or two disciples of Christ. I'm not going to ask who is the bigger sinner, Judas or Peter. Both of them were sinner. There's no bigger sinner or a smaller sinner. Both did something that was not right. One betrayed Christ and one denied Christ. Both realized, oh, we have done something that we shouldn't have done. But what one chose to do was to destroy and take his own life. But Peter repented. And God used him. So much so that the first sermon that Peter gave in Acts chapter 2, at the end of his sermon, he goes unto people and says, "Repent of your sins, because I have done." He doesn't say that, but then that's the core theme of his sermon, repent. He goes through the whole history of what Israel. I love that Acts chapter 2 passage because he goes through the whole history of Israel. And then he comes and says, "Repent." My dear church family, when was the last time we have truly repented of something and that we can say here this morning, you know, just last week, I realized that this aspect of my life is not right and is not honoring God. So I repented. Repentance is not just saying, "God, sorry," and going and doing it again. You know, as we said there, it's a renewal of our life. It's leaving that thing there. The lost son did not come back home and continued his life. We don't know, but then there was repentance. He accepted that he's done wrong. It's an imaginative story. But we cannot be a part of that cycle. Every morning, every day we get up and say, Father, give me my property, I'm running away. Evening, we come back home and say, Father, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. Or next morning, we get up, say, Father, give me my property, I'm going away, do the whole thing and come back and do that every evening. If I happen to ask, what are those few things in our life that we can sit here and think of, that we can say, this was a thing that I repented of, and that part is no more of my life, no more part of my life. Can we identify one or two? I don't want you to share. You know, I keep saying this, that God loves us just the way we are. And to add to that, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, there are two lists of things, or two lists of behaviors or qualities. And it is, let me read what I've just, if you read Galatians chapter 5, sorry, it's not on the screen. As you would know, with me, no screens. Yes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 23. There are two lists. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Focus on the word fruit, not fruits. So we cannot pick and choose. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So God loves us even when we are living a life that is full of sinful nature. But He enables us to be who He wants us to be. And what is that? To live a life that lives and represents God and shows this fruit of Spirit in and through our lives. You know, I kept the shredder here and I've not even checked if it's working. Let's see if it's working. It says, and I want us to do this. There are a few papers and pen that I've kept there. I want us to take time this morning before we take part in the Lord's Supper to take those sheet of papers and pens that are kept there. Not because we want to brag, see, I'm repenting of things. And not because something that I've said, I can never say anything more powerful than what is in the Bible. But Bible tells us that we must repent of our sins, that we must repent of our behavior, that we must repent of our thinking, that we must repent of who we are and become more and more like God. But I want us to, if you want to, this is a welcome and this is an invitation. If you want to take that piece of paper, write down things, and shred them. Why? because that's what God does. When we ask for God's repentance, when we repent of our things, when we ask for forgiveness, that's what God does. Maybe just like that blackboard, he rubs off everything, no traces left. Just like a shredded paper here, maybe once you shred it, it's difficult to bring it together and see what was there. And if you don't want to write anything on that, maybe can I just invite you to just come and shred a paper? As an act of remembering, this is what God does. That God is still waiting for us like a father who is eager to run to us and say, my beloved child, you're back home and I'm so glad. My dear friends, forgiveness is right there for us. How long are we going to wait? And how long are we going to taste God's patience and love for us? Let's take this time to pray, to ask God to lead us, and maybe at least one or two things that we can leave back here this morning and say, God, help me. Let's just spend some this time in quietness and prayers as we would be playing a song in the background. But you're more than welcome to come at the front. Take that pen and paper, write things, or just shred a paper. This is our time. Thank you.